We are. Welcome, everybody, to the Senate Business Transportation and Economic Development Committee. And Senator Nelson, we will start off with you, and I will open a work session of, what is it?
195.
I'll open a work session on Senate, not, excuse me, public hearing on Senate Bill 195.
Don't want to read that.
Please.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Chair. Senate Bill 195 repeals statutes relating to the Space Age Industrial Park. There is no revenue impact, but we have not yet received word from fiscal on this measure. We also received some written testimony from the Planning Director of Morrow County, which Carolyn's handing out right now in support of the measure, and she apologizes for not being able to make it over today.
Thank you. Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Nelson, State Senator for District 29, Cleveland, Marlowe, Umatilla Union, and Wallowa Counties in Northeast Oregon. This bill has been brought to you as a request of Morrow County, and Carla McLean, who's the planning director, is the one that was going to come down, but because of the weather conditions, she was not able to do it. What this bill does is actually repeals four sections of ORS 273.382 through 273.388. History of this is the back in the early 1960s, the federal government was thinking about making a sort of another Cape Canaveral out in eastern Oregon, and there was about 100,000 acres of land, and they were going to do all these things with it. Boeing got involved in buying the land, and they were going to develop it, but never came about. So it sort of has been sitting out there until 2001, and then a big dairy farm by the name of Three Mile Farm came out and bought the land. It's pretty contentious in the legislature, and as a result of the 100,000 acres, about 75,000, I think, went to Three Mile Farm, and 25,000 went to the Nature Conservancy to protect the Washington ground squirrel. So this land is now no longer owned by Boeing, no longer contemplated for being part of the industrial space age or whatever it is. And evidently the commissioners, when they go through all their land use planning and stuff, they always have to consider this, and they just feel it's a waste of their time and effort. And so what they're asking is a repeal of those four sections of the ORS.
Senator, I'm just looking at the letter from the planning director from Morrow County, and to quote her, she says, "Why repeal? As a land use planner, when an action is taken on this land, we still review the applicable statutes and rules. We stumble over this one. While still on the books, it is not applicable, but we still have to review it."
So, that's the reason. Okay. Any questions?
Any questions of the senator?
This isn't about
doesn't
water?
I was trying to work it in somewhere.
I guess the question we should ask him is this a good place to do water storage? Thank you, Senator. I have no other people signed up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify on this? There is none. We will close the public hearing. And we don't have a fiscal, so I guess we can't act on it today. So, let's see. We will move then to 54. We will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 54. Richard.
Thank you, Chair. Senate Bill 54 permits the Oregon Department of Aviation to impose civil penalties for violations of Chapter 837 of the Oregon Revised Statutes, as well as aviation rules and orders. It declares an emergency. It's effective on passage. There's also a dash one amendment described in your staff measure summary, which adds, as well as Chapter 837, it adds 836 to the rules that can be enforced through civil penalties. There's no revenue on either the original bill or the amendment, but there is a fiscal impact statement which was on your table, but there's no request for referral to Ways and Means. It's purely informational from fiscal.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Just in the bill summary, I just want to make sure that that's part of it, and that is the revenue from these civil penalties will be deposited in the general fund, so none of it goes to the agency. Is that not correct?
We'll ask him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
See what fiscal says.
Please. Good afternoon. My name is Mitch Swecker. I'm the acting Director of the Department of Aviation. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. To address Senator Girard's question, it is my understanding that it does go to the general fund and does not go to this agency. It's not a revenue collection effort for us. It's mostly to ensure compliance.
Okay.
ODA's mission is to support Oregon communities by preserving and enhancing aviation safety, infrastructure, and development. And the purpose of this legislation is just to enable the agency to enforce existing statutes and rules by providing authority to impose civil penalties. We currently have the authority to issue citations, and if enacted, this will just give us the opportunity to impose civil penalties under Administrative Procedures Act. And we do want to do that for the ORS chapters 836 and 837, two of our aviation statutes. We really want this to ensure compliance on safety-related issues and also to give us the tools, the teeth, as we say, to ensure maximum revenue for aircraft, pilot, and aircraft registrations, and also airport registrations. Under current law, the director or his designated representative can actually issue a citation, but we have to be there to witness it. Having this authority would give us the ability to use other means. The burden of proof is different. Unlawful conduct need not be committed in the presence of an agency representative. We can actually use other types of evidence as a rationale. So if enacted, this bill will give us a needed supplement to the director's existing enforcement authority.
What's the appeal process?
Excuse me?
What's the appeal process? Is there one?
It is, I believe, in accordance with ORS 183, the administrative appeal process. You get a contested hearing.
Okay. So before the central panel, ALJs?
Through administrative law judges, I understand it. So our intention isn't really to be a revenue collector. This is intended to be a last resort. Our preferred method would be to use letters, education, and other means, directed literature to our aviation customers. This is a last resort for those people who are deliberately trying to avoid paying fees or for some other reason don't want to comply with our regulation.
How big of a problem is it?
Well, we have some incidents. I could give you a couple of examples. I have an airport that is required to pay a license fee of $30 every year. It hadn't paid for 3 years. I have no teeth. I've sent them letters. I've called them. They don't return the phone calls. And I'd like to be able to have something a little bit more capable to enforce with. I did put some examples of some of the ORS the statutes that we would be able to enforce using this legislation. Licensing of airports, collection of fees, the example I just gave you. Landing between high and low tide water mark on recreation areas. I have not seen that in my 2 years with the agency where somebody has done that. I don't know that we'll have a big opportunity to do safety-related things. I think it's more going to be related to collection of fees related to airport registration, pilot registration, and aircraft registration. And again, just for the purpose.
Senator Atkinson?
What's pilot registration?
We have a $12 per year pilot registration fee. That money goes towards the Oregon Emergency Management System to pay for the aviation portion of search and rescue for the state of Oregon.
Forgetting to pay, huh?
What's that?
Forgetting to pay.
Didn't know that. I also look at ORS 837.085, and I know that goes further than FAR-AIM. Than the federal rules. The federal rules don't say you have to have a permit.
For pilots?
Yeah, on your second class example, articles from an aircraft. Now, it may seem kind of silly, but in Southern Oregon, we've got a big event every year where there's an old-fashioned flower toss, and it's this big deal, and it does real great, and it's a big community, and now they got to get a permit for that?
I think it's already in law.
It is in law already, has been since before I've been here. I'm sure we would be reasonable and accommodating for anybody that wants to have a scheduled event like that.
Interesting.
I think the intent of this is not for something like that, but more for somebody who is throwing something at something on the ground. You know, I couldn't give you an example, but...
Campaign brochures.
Campaign brochures. Leaflets.
Senator Starr wanted to throw turkeys out in his district for Thanksgiving one year, but we talked him out of it, that it was a bad idea.
Watching too much TV.
But if... What's the question?
Senator,
if none of this is a problem, why do we have to pass a bill?
Well, this isn't specifically for that instance. I mean, that's in statute already. These are the things that would be enforceable if we did have a problem. But it's more to try to get to the people that avoid paying us. We had a management review about a year ago, and there was a perception that we weren't doing enough to collect revenue from pilots or people that own aircraft in Oregon. So we really would like to be able to use it for that purpose as much as anything else. The rest of those issues are, I think, on a very rare basis.
Follow?
Please.
So I've got a, let's say I've got a Gulfstream 550 that's domiciled in Oregon. What's the fee on that 550?
It would probably be $350, I think. Right at that. There's about 10 different fee schedules. I can give you the exact amount if you'd like.
So you know what you're supposed to pay?
I don't have a 550. No. No, but there's a significant business in Oregon about parking airplanes in Oregon.
It is right at $350 or $360, give or take $10 or $15.
That's a year?
Per year. And, in fact, I think that's probably cheaper than some other states, California, for example. So I think a lot of aircraft owners may base their aircraft in Oregon because we are cheaper than some other states.
Thank you.
Mark?
Actually, I still have a question. I'm trying to weigh through the bill. I know you said that the fines go to the general fund, and I think it's under ORS 183.745. I got ORS, that number here, and I'm just reading through it. I don't see that in there. Is that your assumption on this? Where in the bill does it say that the money for the fines go to the general fund?
I don't know. I have been told this by our attorney and our budget people. I can get back to you with a specific answer if you'd like.
Okay. Hey, thanks.
More, Senator?
No, that's good.
Okay. Anything else?
The only other thing I would say is that this is our last resort, and we would like to, upon approval, we'll do some training of personnel, an education campaign, and probably try to work with our board to do an amnesty period so we don't jump into this cold. There'll be a lot of education opportunity first.
Say amnesty. Senator Starr.
Thank you. Does this do anything that's out of the ordinary as you look at what other states, how other states regulate general aviation? I mean, what we do, are what you're asking for here, basically what the other departments of aviation, the other 49 states are doing?
I can't give you specifics about other states, but it's in line with what any enforcement, law enforcement type operation would do. We're just trying to enable our ability to enforce the existing statutes and regulations that we do have. But I could get back to you about what other states do if you would like.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. I have nobody else signed up. Is there anybody else who wishes to comment on this? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 54, and it looks to me like there's some questions, so we'll wait to schedule this for work session. And let's see, so we want to go to 153.
Have we done? Have we done work session? Or we've done a public hearing on both of these. We didn't have a fiscal.
You've done that.
These two.
Okay.
I thought you were pointing. I didn't know you were.
I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 153. Richard?
Yeah, I almost knew.
Senate Bill 153 allows the construction contractor board to adopt rules for determining whether an inspection and report that is limited to one or more specific systems or components of a residential structure is a sufficient assessment to constitute a home inspection requiring the services of a certified home inspector. We already had a hearing on this bill, and we didn't have a statement from fiscal. We now have a no expenditure impact statement from them, and we already had a no revenue impact. We also have received some additional testimony from the Home Performance Contractors Guild of Oregon in support of the measure.
Excuse me.
Senator?
This is 153?
Yes.
This is 153.
So I had a, we're in work session?
We're in work session.
So I had a call from a constituent of mine who is a part of that Home Performance Guild. He says that he is opposed to the bill as they are. So that contradicts exactly what you just,
said. You can read what they wrote. I actually read this and sent them an email instantly back saying, I read your letter. I'll submit it into the record. I'm not 100% clear on whether you're supporting or against this. Please get back to me. And they didn't. And then I was reading this just as before this, and I kind of decided that they said supports. So you guys, I guess you guys, please look at this and interpret it for yourself. If they say they're not supporting it, then that's the response I was hoping to get that I didn't get today.
Senator, do you have a sense of what the objection was?
36. Basically, they have the gentleman that talked to me is a contractor that does these inspections,
energy audits,
and then goes back and after they do the entire inspection, the entire energy audit, then goes back and bids the work after they've done all the inspections. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe that it's necessary to have the CCB intrusion into this particular area. Completely opposed to the bill. It's completely unnecessary.
This reduces that.
That's what this does, is takes them out of it.
That's right.
Right now, as I understand the testimony, what CCB said is that they didn't believe some of the specialty inspectors like that should be regulated, and they believe that under the current law, they are.
Yeah.
You want some time to go back and talk to them?
Well, he told me that he was opposed to the bill because the bill was unnecessary. So I must have not have paid attention when we had the bill in the hearing. So I'm always eager to oppose bills.
would you like some more time to
to build your case?
To think about it.
Mr. Chair.
Because I think what CCB was saying is that they felt like under the current law they would have to regulate them. They didn't think it was appropriate. Is there anybody here who knows about that? No.
Can I join him in minority report it? That might be.
All right. So let's go ahead. I'll trust the wisdom of the committee here. So I see. So under the current rules, they don't have a choice. They wanted this bill would amend it so that they could adopt rules so that they can create an exception.
That's right.
That's what they said.
All right. Good enough.
You want to make a motion?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 153 to floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson has moved Senate Bill 153 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the bill is adopted unanimously, or passed to the floor unanimously. We will close that hearing on 153, and we will open hearing on Senate Bill 155.
Carrier on 153.
153, I'll carry it.
Okay.
Thought we should.
That saves problems.
I'm a little gun shy.
Richard, 155.
Okay, Senate Bill 155. Senate Bill 155 adds an appurtenance to the definition of residential structure and small commercial structure. We didn't have a fiscal impact statement at the time. We now have a no expenditure impact from fiscal, and there's no revenue impact on this measure.
Colleagues, if you'll recall, this is the one I characterized. We had concerns about the definitions, but as the horse is already out of the barn, we already have that in rule. What this did is it addresses small additions. So, discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
I would just like to say the initial policy I do not agree with. I just don't. However, tweaking a bad bill to make it better is what this does, and therefore I'll support.
Okay. Any other discussion? With then the chair will move.
You're in hearing. You open
Did I open a hearing? Did I open a hearing? All right, so we'll be closing the public hearing to make it official and open a work session on 155, which I thought I did. Now in work session, the chair will move Senate Bill 155 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Further discussion. Is there any opposition? There is none. 155 is passed to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Hearing work session is closed, and
I share Fred's concern with it.
Okay.
I couldn't do a good service.
Is there anybody who would like to carry it?
I will.
You will? Senator Edwards will carry. We are at the end of our agenda. Is there anything else to come before the committee? We are adjourned.
All right.